Turn your Bibles with me very quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, 24, 25. I want to trust that I'll be fast enough and at the same time be able to dispense the thoughts and the purpose of God. Hebrews chapter 12. The blood still speaks. Say to your neighbor, the blood still speaks. Hebrews 12, the Bible says from 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not to refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. But I want to stay on verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh. And so, the first point I want you to see is the fact that the blood speaks. That's verse 24. I'm going to stay on that. The blood speaks. Say to your neighbor, the blood speaks. There's life in the blood. You will be able to see that in Leviticus. You are going to read that very soon. There's life in the blood. And because there's life in the blood, he has an ability to do. There's a power. You know, there's an action. You know, there's a deliverable because there's life. You know, non-living cannot deliver. Non-living, you know, cannot action. And so, because life is in the blood, actually, what makes you to be alive today, you know, is not because you had. What makes you to be alive today is because you have blood flowing in your system. If your blood flow should be stopped, you find out that in 10 minutes you become pale, and then next 5 minutes you're out. You know, and that's why the wicked people or the people that know how to fight, they know where to go for. If they depress a particular stuff here, I don't want to mention it so that there's no wicked person here anyway. You know, and then they'll be able to stop the flow of blood. Before you know it, you become disoriented. So there's life in the blood. And so because there's life in the blood, he has an ability to speak. So that's the first point I want you to see. And the Bible compares here to another blood that spoke, and that is the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel spoke, and so because there's life in the blood, that blood spoke, you know, when his brother killed him. And so you have the speaking in the blood. Whether it's the blood of Abel, whether it's the blood of Christ here, you know, is speaking. However, they are speaking different things. You know, the blood of Abel was speaking vengeance. That's the first thing. It was speaking vengeance. The second thing it was speaking was judgment. You know, and then the blood that was speaking was an innocent blood. Did you get that? You know, when he was killed, the blood was speaking, avenge me, you know, of this wickedness of my brother. Bring judgments, you know, of this wickedness of my brother. And then the man whose blood was speaking actually was an innocent man. He was unlawfully killed. He was badly killed. He was unjustifiably killed. But you see the blood of Jesus, because I need to make that comparison, because two bloods were speaking. And I want you to see, actually, I can preach a whole sermon on comparison between Abel, you know, and Jesus Christ. Probably at that time, I'm going to talk about that, you know, the things the two bloods were speaking. But I just want to get this out this morning because it's communion and I want us to get this done very quick. The blood of Jesus, rather than speaking vengeance, the blood of Jesus is speaking mercy. That's the first thing the blood is speaking. Is speaking mercy. Why? You know, because the blood is speaking for the guilty. The blood is speaking for the people actually that deserve judgments. The other blood was speaking for somebody that was innocent, and that's why speaking judgment. But this blood of Jesus was not speaking judgment. It can't speak judgment. It was speaking mercy, because actually we've been condemned and judged already. So it's speaking mercy, and it's speaking for the guilty, he's speaking for the condemned, he's speaking for the people actually that should be destroyed, people that should not have future, that should not have hope, you know. But Jesus' blood is saying, no mercy, you speak mercy. I'm going to break down that mercy very shortly, but I want you to see this morning. If you can get this description, and then we're done. We eat at the table, and then we pray together, and then we're ready to go. I'm particular about praying after this communion, so I want to get this short. And so I want you to see here the blood that is speaking. And so for the blood to be speaking, that means that there is an accuser. Did you get that? You know, because, and Pastor Fred will help me a lot this morning. You know, if you have somebody that is speaking, that means that there's another person that is speaking against you. So it is like a voice against a voice. It is like a pleading against another pleading. It's like somebody is trying to rescue someone. You know, and so the first person that I want us to see this morning is the person the Bible calls the accuser of brethren. So you have the devil, who is the accuser. It's him that is speaking. He has a voice. He's making a noise. He's making a shout to God. Because actually, you've been found guilty. Because actually, you've broken the law. Because actually, you've offended. So you have the accuser, you know, that is on one point. And I want you to imagine an accuser. Also, we are thinking courts now. I want you to imagine a prosecutor. The prosecutor is the accuser. And so you can see a prosecutor that is bound to ensure that you go to prison. Imagine that that prosecutor will come with a whole lot of evidence to court, isn't it? A prosecutor, not some of these prosecutors of, I don't want to mention them, all the prosecution they do, they free all those people. What investigation did they do? What did they bring to the court? So after a while, they said, the judge will say, you didn't do your work very well. So this accuser, we are talking about the devil, he's done his job very well. So when he was coming to the court, he came with a bag load of evidences, you know, against the offender. He came with a lot of witnesses against the offender. He came with a pile, you know, of accusations. You know that when you go to court and said charges of 105 against you, you'll be wondering, if you escape one, will you escape the other? If you escape third, will you escape the fourth? That is the way the accuser comes. And the accuser has fired against you. You've broken the Ten Commandments. You've broken the love of God. You know, you've offended. And you've done this, you've done that. And he came with a load of evidence. And herein is the accused on the other hand. The accused on the other hand. And that's you and I. You are just looking. You know, because you wonder, how am I going to escape a whole lot of accusation, a whole lot, you know, of condemnation? You're saying, what am I going to say? And then you have here, you know, the judge. I want to talk to you soon about the judge. So you have the accuser, you have the accused, you have the judge that is seated here. And the first court session, you have the accuser, you have the accused, and you have the judge. And you know what? And you have the bailiff. It's the bailiff that will say, okay, the court session is about to start. Oh, it's the registrar. And then said, read your accusation or whatsoever. And you know, the man that is here just opened his book. And he read, he said, my Lord, I have this against this man. And I have three pleas. You know, after I said he's broken this, you know, he's done wrong. He said he's broken up the commandment. You know, he did this. After that, he said, my Lord, I have three charges. He said the accused must pay with his life. That is what he's pleading, you know, before the court. Number two, he said the accused be punished with every sickness, you know, and disease and poverty. He said, after all that I've done, he said, number three, the accused to be handed over to me to be put in prison and put in jail. He said, those are my pleadings. And he put that before the judge. And you know something? The judge being a righteous judge. The judge being a righteous judge. He knows that with the evidence that the accuser has placed before the court, there's no way that this accused will go free. You know what the judge said? The judge rose. He said, the next hearing will be on 18th of August, 2024. And then they say, boom, court dismissed. You know what? It's not that the judge does not know that I can pronounce judgment. But the court, the judge knows that, look, I don't want this guy to go to jail. I don't want this guy to be afflicted. I don't want this guy to hang, you know, in the hand of the tormentor. He said, I am going to give another. He gave adjournment. Adjournment, they call it. And so we adjourned to so-so date, you know, 2024. And said, arise! And then they left. Now, listen. After that court session, when the judge got his office, the judge sent somebody to the accused and he wrote something on paper and it was slipped into the hand of the accused, you know, because he said, okay, don't worry, just remind him in Agodi something, you know, and then he gave a paper. Let me tell you what is written in the paper. 1 John chapter 2, you turn to it very quickly. 1 John John 2:1. It said, I write, dear children, 1 John 2:1. If you are there, say amen. 1 John 2:1. He said, I write this, dear children, to guide you out of sin. Or so that you not sin. Now, see, this is where I'm going. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate. We have an advocate. An advocate is a priest friend. Or in this court thing I'm describing, an advocate is a lawyer. So the judge put 1 John 21 and said, please give the paper to the accused. You know what the judge was saying? The judge was saying to the accused, please, you need to go and get a lawyer. Praise God. You know, because the judge knows that there's no way the accused can defend himself. He said, there's an advocate. You go and get it. Now, the judge was not saying, just go and get an ordinary lawyer. He was not saying, go and get any lawyer. You know what he said? He did not only give advice of an advocate, he went ahead to say there's a particular advocate that you must get. He gave the address. He gave everything. You know what the judge again put in that paper? He said, you go and meet the advocate. And said, his father asked you to come and defend me, the accused. Glory to Jesus. And so the next session, praise God, the next adjourned date came. And so the prosecutor came. You know, this time around, the prosecutor is smiling because he actually knows that the judge knows that the accused is doomed. So he came rejoicing. As a matter of fact, he came with some people, you know, in his camp, some demons, some sicknesses and disease, because he knows that the judge is going to say, inflict and afflict this person with sickness and disease. So they came with some diseases. They came with some asthma. They came with some body pain. They came with some HIV. They came with some cancer. They came with some chest pain. Do you understand? And he learned them. They are waiting outside because they know again that the judge is going to hand over the accused, you know, to the prosecutor. You know, three things he pleaded for. Hand over the accused to me. Let me afflict the accused with some sickness and disease. And he said again, let me get him to die. Those are the pleadings of the prosecutor. But this time around, when the prosecutor was coming, when the accused was coming, The accused came with someone. And you had the advocate. Say to your neighbor, the advocate. The advocate came. And then you have the accused behind the advocate. And when they got into the court, you know that the accused knows, you know, the volume of the charges. The advocate was just coming. And so when they got into court, the accused looked at the eyes of the advocate. He wanted to see whether the advocate was worried. When he saw, you know, the pile load of accusation, when he saw, you know, all the loads of the thing is broken, and the accused actually knows that he's guilty. Have you been there before? You know that you are guilty. You know you've offended. And then all the evidence is, even they don't need to bring the evidence. You yourself, you know within you that you desire, that the right reward is death. The right reward is some certain punishment that should come to you. But when the accused look at the hides, you know, of the advocate, he wanted to read the emotions of the advocate. You know that sometimes, you know, you get, have you seen some of this film before? You see this big man that is behind this small chap, and you know, they are bullying. And then they are bullying somebody in the car. And when the person in the car opens the car, it's, you now find an army general. You know that the big man will succumb. He thought he was big in his own eyes. When he saw a bigger man come out of the vehicle, you know, he became a jelly. So the accused was actually looking at the eyes of the advocate to see whether the advocate will be afraid. To see that whether the advocate will be perturbed. You know something? The advocate was not bothered. You know what the advocate said to the accused? The advocate said to the accused, he said, "You just chill. You know something? I have a witness that is coming here." He said, "Oh boy, you just chill. You see that judge there? It's my father." Amen. Praise God. When you go to court and the judge is the father of the advocate, at least some emotion will say there's a possibility that I'm going to win this. Even before you bring in even your witness. Did you get that? And so the judge said, "Okay, can you bring up your complaint once again?" And he read the three again. He said, "I'm praying the court for these three things. I'm praying the court death. I'm praying the court hand over the accused to me. I'm praying the court that I flee the person, you know, with some sickness and disease." And after he was done with that, this time around, the judge actually knows that the right man has come to defend the accused. The judge is not going to give postponement any longer, because he knows that I've sent this man to an advocate. And the advocate is the person that I've recommended. And the advocate is my son. So I know that my son is going to do a good job. And so the son was going to speak this time around, you know, for the accused. The accused was not going to speak for himself any longer. And when the advocate was going to speak, he said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "My Lord, it's true. All the things that my client, you know, did, all the accusations were true. But so I want the prosecutor to know that they were true in the time past." He said, "The evidences had been destroyed. The evidences had been overtaken by events." He said, "So that evidence are no longer tenable. They are no longer real because things have changed." And he said, "I have a witness." And the judge said, "Bring in your witness." Are you still with me, somebody? Yes, praise God. And the judge said, "You bring in your witness." And the advocate said, "I want to call on the blood. I'm bringing the blood as a witness against the prosecutor and for the accused. And the judge said, you bring in, you know, your witness. You know that it's come with a lot of witnesses. My witness, my sin, my broken of the Lord, my transgression, my iniquity, everything the prosecutor had brought. But this time around, the advocate is asking for what? And I can imagine, like you will imagine, that when the prosecutor came to court with a whole gamut, you know, of witnesses, and the advocate said, I just have one. I just have one. You know, the accused would say, Jamie Otishi, lawyer, Baba. You see a whole lot, and somebody has come with one. How are you going to survive? How am I going to survive? How am I going to win this war? And he said, I have one. He said, come and bring the one that you have. And when the blood came, the blood started speaking. Let me tell you three things that the blood spoke. Amen. Praise God. When he talks about the fact that this man has to die, in other words, the punishment for his sin is death. Rightfully so. But you know the advocate that said that was true to the extent of freeing the blood. When the blood came, the blood said the first thing, Leviticus 17:11. You turn to it very quickly in your Bible. Leviticus 17:11. The Bible says, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I've given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. And see, the way it trended. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Atonement means a payment had been made. And so the blood says, the first thing the blood says to you and I, that is said to the judge, is the fact that yes, this guy deserves to die. The penalty is death. But he said, I have paid through my blood, and so it deserves no death any longer. And the prosecutor, he looked at the judge, he looked at his people, he looked at the accused. You know why? Because he knows that the accused has started knowing what is hidden for the accused for years. He actually knew that, but he knew that the accused did not know. And so when the advocate came, advocate brought him the blood. And the blood said, I made atonement for that sin. And so he deserves no death any longer. And then, okay. But what about the second one? What about the second one? The second one is that, you know, he must be afflicted. Now you redeem him. He has eternal life. He's no longer to die. But okay, he must be afflicted with sickness and disease. He must be afflicted with poverty. And the blood speaks. You know, the first thing the blood speaks is atonement. He said, I've paid for that debt. And the cost of that punishment is my blood. And then number two, he said, no, you are not going to afflict him with sickness. You are not going to afflict him, you know, with disease. He said, because my blood, again, is speaking remission. Glory to Jesus. He said, my blood is speaking remission. Hebrews 10:18, very quickly. Hebrews 10:18 says this. You see that Leviticus is talking about a law, a done deal. In other words, the life is in the blood. And with the shedding of blood, there's an atonement. That's a principle. Did you get that? He said there are certain principles. You know, I spoke along this last week too. There are certain principles in God's word that cannot be broken. There's no revelation after them. There's no revelation. You can't break it. He said there are principles. The moment you get those principles, they begin to work for you. He said because with the shedding of blood is an atonement for sin. Full stop. When the blood is shed, there's a pay down for sin. That's what that principle say. Now, see another principle here. Hebrews 10, verse 18, the Bible says, now, where remission of this sin is, there's no more offering for sin. In other words, remission means cancellation of debt or charge or penalty. When there's remission, we are going to say we suspend the penalty that's supposed to come. Now, the penalty for that sin is sickness, is disease, is poverty. And so when the prosecutor was trying to lay a claim that, okay, here you made atonement, but again, I can still punish, the blood says you cannot punish because I have remitted. Did you get that? I have remitted, you know, for those sins. Therefore, the judgment has to be stopped. The judgment has to be stopped. In other words, you don't have a right to put sickness. Because I did not atone only, I have remitted the offenses. And so whatever the charges, whatsoever the pay, whatsoever, you know, that you want to dispense, he said, hold it. You cannot do it any longer. And of course, the devil knows, the accuser knows that he's been caught another time. By this time, the prosecutor, the accuser, have started moving gradually out of court. You know, because he knows that, you know, the advocate knows what he's talking about because of the witness. The prosecutor knows about the witness. But what the prosecutor has done for many years is to make sure that the accused does not know what the blood had done. It's to make sure that the accused does not hear what the blood is saying. It's to make sure that the accused is still living like somebody that is in bondage. The prosecutor knows. You know, sometimes the devil laughs at us because he sees and he plays on our ignorance. And that's what the Bible says, that the devil has no power, but what he has is wiles, styles, deception. He blindfolds your eyes. And that's why you have some people, they will never give their life to Christ, no matter what you preach. Why? Because there's a fog around their eyes. Sickness has been dealt with. The blood is speaking healing. The blood is speaking deliverance. The blood is speaking prosperity. That's the second thing the blood is speaking. And then the prosecutor was going to abandon the case for a while, and then he came back. He said, okay, George, there's something, the third one that I'm pleading. Hand over this guy to me. Hand over this guy to me. And the judge said, okay, advocate, what do you have to say, you know, to that third charge? And the advocate said, my Lord, the blood is a witness. The blood has something to say. And the blood again said, no, we cannot hand over, you know, the accused to you, prosecutor. He said, you know why? The third thing the blood is saying, the blood is saying he has been redeemed. The blood says, I made an atonement. The blood says, I made remission. The blood is now saying that he's been redeemed. Ephesians 1, 7. Let's see that place very quickly. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Ephesians 1, 7. The Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's under treason. In whom we have redemption. And so it said, George, You cannot hand over the accused to the prosecutor. Why? Because through the blood, the accused had been bought back. That's redemption. So, look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Number one, the blood says, I've made payments for the accused, and so it does not deserve eternal death. The blood says again that have remitted for the sins and iniquities of the accused. You know, the blood is not saying that the accused did not commit all those sins. That would be a wrong standing before the judge. The blood knows that he committed all the offenses. The blood knows that actually the accused should be handed over. The blood knows that the accused should die. That is the reason the advocate is there. And so the advocate is saying that I shed my blood, and my blood is a witness to the fact that there's a pay down. The blood is a witness to the fact that there's a buy back. My blood is a witness to the stay of execution of judgment. And so on all the three counts, judge, my cleanse does not deserve, you know, to be handed over to the prosecutor. Hallelujah, somebody. Let me round up. This will blow your mind. Now, the judge, which is the judge of the universe, was sitting on a seat. That seat is not begonia wood. That seat is not, you know, an imported foam. That seat is not, you know, a golden seat. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. The judge does not have any right. He does not have any other thing to do but to free this man. You know why? The judge is sitting on a seat we call mercy seats. Hallelujah, somebody. When you have judge that is sitting on mercy seats, you know that that judge is not going to pronounce vengeance. You know that that judge is not going to pronounce judgments. That judge is not going to pronounce condemnation. That judge is not going to pronounce sickness and disease. Why? Because he knows that I'm on mercy seat. Not only that, the judge is the one that appointed the advocates. And so, the judge and the advocates, they understand the accusation and they understand the way out of those accusations. So God is on mercy seat and the advocate is the son of the judge. And so what do you think that the judge is going to pronounce? And after the blood has spoken, the judge declared, he said on count number one, the accused is discharged and acquitted. He said on count number two, he said the judge, the accused is forgiven, discharged, and acquitted. And said on count number three, he said the accused is discharged and acquitted. And the next thing you will hear is, arise, ladies and gentlemen, you are free, you are free, you are free on every counter, on anything that is placed before you, on anything that has been brought against you, you are free. There's nothing, look at me, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing left that the enemy, look at this statement I'm going to make, there's nothing left that the enemy can implants on you. And so, when you are sick, when you have those symptoms, the way it is, it is the healed that the devil is trying to place sickness on. It is not the sick that is sick. It is the healed. Because that sickness had been remitted. When you don't have money, you have money, The devil is trying to make you to be poor. You know why? Because poverty has been remitted. Woo! And then again, he wants to judge you. He cannot judge you, you know, because an atonement has been made. Let me tell you as I round up, the truth that you must understand this morning. How will you activate the blood? And I round up on that. How will you activate? Revelation 12, 11. How will you activate? Because the blood, the witness has spoken. And the blood has spoken. It's done its beats. You've been accused. You've been discharged. How will you activate? Revelation 12, 1 verse 11, the Bible says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. The first thing to do to activate the blood is to speak the word of God. Now, listen. Your word must tally with what the blood is speaking. Whatever must proceed out of your mouth must be in tandem with what the blood is speaking. When the blood says you'll be healed, then your utterance must say, I've been healed. When the blood says you are no longer poor, your utterance must align with what the blood is saying. No matter what you are feeling in your life, in your situation, you have delay, you have whatsoever. You feel like things are getting late. You feel abandoned. What is the blood saying? The blood is saying to you that I have bought you back. There's redemption. When you've been bought back, then you have a new life. You have a new destiny. When even it appears that things are slow, your life is still in the hands of God. Because you know what? When you are bought back, you'll be moved from kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. In the kingdom of light, everything works together for your good. In the kingdom of light, God makes this beautiful in his own time. In the kingdom of light, when God appears, that is the time. In the kingdom of his dear son, there's no lateness. There's no lateness. When the king arrives, that is the time. In the kingdom of his dear son, we don't look at chronological time. We look at spiritual time. And as I said, the son of Issachar, they understand time and they understand season. In the kingdom of his dear son, we talk about time and season. We don't talk about 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. And so, when the devil speaks to you, you say, I've been bought back. In the kingdom of his dear son, there's no sickness because sickness can be remitted. In the kingdom of his dear son, there's no infirmity, because infirmity has been remitted. In the kingdom of his dear son, you know, there's no poverty, because poverty has been remitted. You have healing, you have health, you have wellness, you have fullness, you have prosperity in the kingdom of light. Nobody begs in the kingdom of light, because everybody is rich, you don't get it. Everybody has more than enough in the kingdom of his dear son. That is where you are. Atonement has been made. Everything abnormal, you must reject it because you're operating in a kingdom that is different. So you make your confession to align, you know, with the word of God. Number two, how to activate the blood, plead the blood. Because you've overcome by the word and they overcome by the blood. So you plead the blood. You don't plead the blood like when you were in CAC. You carry, I say, I drown myself in the blood of you. You are wasting it. You are wasting it. You just, when God was speaking to them, he spoke to this trailer. He said, just sprinkle. Just sprinkle. Do you understand that? It's your unbelief. I say, I pour the blood of Jesus on the express. As far as Waluri Express, you don't need the blood of Jesus on the express. Do you understand that? As I pour the blood of Jesus from Ibadan to Lagos, I pour the blood of Jesus. Garawako ni. You just need, you know, a sprinkle. Just say, I plead. Like we are going to do now. I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. When you say it with faith in your heart, you activate the power in the blood. Begin to speak on your behalf. Who is the accuser? Who is the accuser? When the blood begins to speak, the accuser will flee the stage. But what we do most of the time is when the accuser is saying, "What if you miss the corner? What if by me?" No! There's an advocate before the Father. What the advocate is waiting for is for you to activate the power in the blood. It was on Tuesday I was saying to you, you said, God, we have mercy not because of you. You remember that? God hears your prayer not because of you. So it's not about how many hours you spend in prayer. God answers our prayer because of the advocate. That is the intercessor that stands before God on our behalf. And so you be a fool if you are going before God, you left Jesus behind, and you carry your chest as if it's your fine clothes that God wants to see. God does not want to see your fine clothes. God does not want to see your fine shoe. God does not care about your by your fine needs of English or rendition or your prayer on how well or questions you have. No! When you go in the name of Jesus. God, we have mercy because of Jesus. God, we change your story because of Jesus. God, we bring deliverance because of Jesus. And so you do well to approach God in the name of Jesus. So when you go before him, you plead the blood of Jesus and you release the power that is in the blood. And lastly, one of the ways to activate the power, you activate the words of the blood, is communion. Let me tell you one thing that I did not tell you. When the judge was going to rise, judge, after I said you are discharged and acquitted, and said, prosecutor, never bring this case before me for lie. He now turned, you know, to the accused. And he said to the accused, now listen to what I'm going to say. Listen to what I'm going to say. He said, accused, whenever you feel defeated, whenever you feel sickness, whenever you feel that you're unable, he said, turn to communion. When you take the communion, you are saying what the advocate has just said on your behalf. When you turn to the communion, you are activating what the witness has said. When you turn to the communion, you are actually inviting the witness, that is the blood, to speak on your behalf once again. And that is why anytime you fear, that is the word the judge used. It's not that anytime you are defeated. No. Anytime you feel defeated, it's not anytime you are sick. No. Anytime you feel that you are ill, activates the saying, the pronouncement of the blood once again. And that's what we are going to do this morning. we're going to activate this morning what God has said concerning us. I want you to know this morning as I round up, can I have the people that will serve us come? I want you to know this and listen. The blood is the atonement. He paid for our sins and debts with his blood. And so the sin or debt had been remitted. Thus, we have been redeemed. He paid for our sins with his blood. And so the sin had been remitted. Thus, we have been redeemed. Don't ever forget that. You've been bought back. You are a new being. There's no evidence that can stand against you any longer. You know why? Because you're a new creature. There's no evidence. When you were bought back, you become new. And if any man is in Christ, a new creature, all things are passed away. So there's no evidence that can stick. There's no claim that can stick. There's no accusation that can stick because you are brand new. Can I please rise to our feet, ladies and gentlemen? You are new. Brand new. There's nothing that can stick because atonement had been made, remission had been made, our redemption had occurred. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Can you close your eyes and say after me? We are going to say this again, but say it now. I say, my sin has been paid for. I'm not hearing you. My sin has been paid for. The penalty permanently suspended. The penalty permanently suspended. And I've been bought back. Hallelujah to Jesus. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. By your blood, we have a new lease. By your blood, we have a new life. By your blood, we have a fresh beginning. We thank you for the sacrifice that was made. And Father God, as we do this in remembrance of you this morning, I pray that the blood will speak for everyone that is going to partake of this communion. Whatever is happening in their lives, the challenges, sickness in their body, sickness in their destiny, sicknesses in their businesses, sicknesses in their brain. As we take this, the blood will speak healing. The blood will speak healing. The blood will speak deliverance. Is there anybody here that is in comatose? Comatose destiny. Comatose business. Comatose relationship. As we take this, the blood will speak and there will be life restored unto every comatose situation in the name of Jesus. We thank you.